good morning again. My name's still Jeremy. I didn't make it very far.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to New Hope Church. This last week we started a sermon series on theology of worship and what that looks like. And we started off with music. We started about how music helps us get into the presence of God. But we also talked about music isn't about us. It's about us worshiping God. It's about us getting into His presence and allowing Him to do in us what we think helps us be better about ourselves. When it's never even about us, it's about Him and what He wants to do. Because I don't know about you, but I've ran my life my way a long time. Addicted to drugs, in and out of jail, all this stuff. I thought I was in control. And my control led me to a person by the name of Jesus, the man God, who was able to take my brokenness and change me forever. And now, 10 years later, I get to stand here and preach the gospel to you guys. Because preaching the gospel is still worship. Last week, we talked about music. We think music is about our worship and all that. But it's so much more than that. So let me give you an example. Imagine you walk into a restaurant. You're walking into a restaurant. It's your favorite restaurant. And you're starving. I mean, you know, like when your stomach's going, talking to you, it's like, feed me. Well, you know what I'm talking about. And you sit down, and the hostess puts you in a seat, you know, and she gives you the menu. You already know the menu because it's your favorite place, right? I'm looking at the menu. I'm like, man, that double bacon cheeseburger looks so good right now. Maybe it's spaghetti. I don't know, whatever you like, but I like the big double bacon cheeseburgers because then I feel really bad after I eat it. Like, did I really just eat an entire day's worth of food in one sitting? Enough calories for the whole thing? But then just imagine for a minute, as you're staring at that thing or that plate. I like spaghetti too, just so you know. If you ever want to, you know, I like spaghetti too. Just come knock at my door and drop it off. We're good. But imagine this. The waitress goes, you know, before I serve your food, we need to have a lecture about calories and carbs. And all you did was come to eat. You just came to the restaurant so that you could eat, right? But here's what we might be doing in our church every Sunday. We sing a few songs, we lift our hands, we feel the presence of God, and then we act like worship is over after what you just experienced. Like, worship's over. Okay, now we're going to sit in our seats. Now we're going to do the teaching portion. Pastor Jeremy's going to get up and give a Bible study. But as I prepared this week, I had to go into Acts 2, and I was looking. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not what happened in the book of Acts. That's further from the truth of what happened in the Acts. Peter didn't just say, okay, everybody, worship time's done. Let's do the Bible study. No, no, no. He was still worshiping when he opened his mouth. So our sermon today is going to be about preaching and teaching. Preaching and teaching. But it's more than that. It's more than Pastor Jeremy getting up here and giving you scripture and giving you this. It's about us worshiping. God wants to reveal revelation to us through His Word. Through His Word. He's saying they're still worshiping as he opens the mouth. So you got to understand in Acts 2, the same spirit that who was just speaking, who fell on the disciples in the upper room, and the disciples started speaking in tongues. It's the same spirit that Peter's words that he used that cut through the hearts. And that day when he preached, guess what? 3,000 people were saved. 3,000 people were saved. The sermon wasn't just a pause in the worship. It was worship. Church, I need you to understand something today. When God's word is preached in the power of the Spirit, it's not information. It's transformation. It's not a lecture that I'm getting up here to tell you. It's an encounter with the living God. So right now, you don't need to dare shift into the learning mode. Don't do it. Stay in the encounter mode. Like when we did worship. Be ready to encounter, to hear God's voice speak to you through the Spirit. Because the same God who changed 3,000 people's lives 2,000 years ago is the same Spirit-filled sermon that is about to be spoken into your life right now. Are you ready? Look to your neighbor and say, I'm ready. Tell your other neighbor, let's do this. That's how I put smiles on your face. I just make you look at somebody you might not know and do something weird, you know? You got to understand. The question here isn't whether you're done worshiping. The question is, are you still hungry? Are you still hungry? So my scripture today, if you have your Bibles, we're a Bible-believing church. If you got your Bibles, bring them. If you didn't bring them next week. If you don't have one now, there's one under your seat. 2 Timothy, towards the end of the Bible. It says, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 4:12. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and teaching in righteousness. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead in view of his appearing and his kingdom. I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage. Man, doesn't our world need some more encouragement? You can be the vessel of that. With great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not, get this, for a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say to them what their ears are itching to hear. I'm sorry. I got to preach the word. I got to preach the Bible in its fullest form. This Bible should be a mirror to your life. It should make you uncomfortable. It should challenge your thoughts and your perspective on worldview and religion and all of it. It should challenge you. Look it, read it, challenge it, let it challenge you. It's not just a book to be read. It's a book to put a mirror to your face and let it look at you. Let it look at you. You know why? Because God's word is alive and transformative. Paul tells Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed. This isn't just ancient literature we're talking about here. You know, we're talking almost 3,500 years worth of God-inspired work right here. It isn't just for, it's not just good for moral teaching, to make you feel good about yourself. You got to understand that this is the very breath of God. It's been tested and proven. Did you know out of the 7 billion people in the world, there's 4 million or 4 billion of them that are counted as Christians that believe in this one book? It has been going into all the world. Let me explain. Think of a person who glows glass, like your vases at home and all that stuff. Think about it. When he's working on this thing, when the artist breathes into that tube and the molten glass, that breath doesn't just touch the surface of that glass. It enters and it shapes it from within. As it blows in, it blows it up, giving it form and purpose. The breath that the artist breathes into that glass becomes part of the creation that happened when the vase was made. Does that make sense? When Paul says that Scripture is God-breathed, he's describing how God's own breath, His Spirit didn't merely inspire human authors from outside, but they entered into the very process of the writing that took place. Just as a glass blower's breath transformed the raw material into something beautiful and functional, God's breath transforms human words into divine revelation. The glass bearer, the unmistakable mark of the craftsman's breath, yet it still remained glass. It was still a piece of glass, but it had been transformed. Scripture bears this unmistakable authority of God's breath, yet it remains human language. Why? So that we can understand it. But like that blown glass, it's not something far more than its original material. It carries within it the very life and purpose of the one who breathed into it. This is why Scripture, the Bible alone, isn't merely literature or moral instruction. It is living, it is active, and because the breath of the living God is moving through every single word in it. I'm going to explain in a few. I love Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the word of God is alive and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even the divided soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Do you understand what this means, church? When you open this book and you proclaim its truth, when I open this book and I preach it to you every Sunday, it's not me sharing my thoughts or my ideas or my opinions. It's not my best thoughts and my creative writing when I do this. No, I'm releasing the very breath of the creator of the universe into this room that is alive. You walk through those doors today, maybe you thought this was just another Sunday service, and you came to witness somebody that you love to be baptized and take their next steps in their walk with God. But what if this exact moment right now was a divine appointment for you? What if it was for you too? What if God was orchestrating every step that brought you here today? Because he does that. He didn't call you here just to be a spectator and hear a sermon and watch your loved one get baptized. No, but you're a guest of honor here today. You are a guest of honor here today that your own life would have a breakthrough. 26 souls have declared their allegiance to Jesus Christ in this church in the past 6 months. 26. 10, well, we had some baptisms about 3 months ago, 2 months ago, we had 4 baptisms in. But out of those, there are 10 people whose hearts have been radically transformed through the gospel, through the preaching, through the love that they have here at this church. And they're going to walk through it and prove their declaration. They're going to preach their first sermon through baptism. Their lives will never be the same, but God isn't finished. He's looking at you right now with that same love, the same power, the same life changing invitation that these 10 people are going to experience today. You got to know something, though. Today's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. God doesn't see your past mistakes. He sees your destiny, where you're going. He's not looking at your past. He's looking at where he wants to take you. Stop looking at your past. He doesn't hear your excuses for whatever reason there might be. He hears your heartbeat crying out for a purpose in your life. You might be here today, like, man, I'm just drifting through life. What's my purpose? That's the question of all humanity. What is my purpose? He doesn't focus on your brokenness. He sees the masterpiece he's ready to create from all of your broken fragments. He's ready to take that broken heart and put all those pieces to back together and make it whole again. He isn't concerned with what you did back here. He's concerned with what you do with your future. Because today you're going to hear the gospel, and today is when 3,000 people got saved over 2,000 years ago. You think you came here by a coincidence. There are no accidents in God's kingdom. You're here because the creator of the universe has something planned for your life. He wants to breathe his very life into you. He wants to give you a reason to wake up tomorrow. He wants to give you a reason that is life and fulfilling and has purpose to wake up tomorrow. A lot of us go around this life spinning all these plates, keeping us so distracted from what God really wants. He wants to give you reason to wake up tomorrow. He wants to set your soul on fire in a good way. He wants to take every shattered piece of your heart and rebuild it. Stop letting the ordinary. Stop. I'm preaching to myself now. I'm convicted already and I wrote it down. I need to stop letting the ordinary. Stop settling for ordinary when the extraordinary is reaching out. Amen. Am I okay with just the ordinary things? Or do I want the extraordinary that comes from above? The same God who parts the seas wants to part the obstacles in your life. The same God who raises the dead wants to resurrect every dream that you've buried. Let me say that again, because I should be hearing an amen in that one. The same God who raised the dead wants to resurrect every dream that you've buried. Come on. Say, come on, somebody. The same God who spoke the light into darkness wants to illuminate every corner of your life. When you feel hopeless, there is light. This isn't just another Sunday. This is a Sunday your life could change forever. Now, you got to, the Holy Spirit empowers God's word. You got to understand this. Now, here's what we must understand. God's word and the Holy Spirit, they work together. They go hand in hand. You can't separate them. Because Jesus said in John 16 and 13, he said, the Spirit of truth, he said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And in John 14:26, he says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. They go hand in hand. Everything Jesus, not everything, because the book would be like this thick if we could have recorded everything that Jesus said. This is what Paul was talking about when he charges Timothy to preach the word. He's not saying, hey, give a nice sermon, make everybody feel good. My goal is that the way you walked in today, you walk out different, changed, challenged, inspired, broken, whatever it takes. I just hope that the way you came in, you walk out completely different. I've watched countless times the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, take a simple verse and completely wreck somebody's life. Completely wreck it. Here's mine. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul talks about a thorn in his flesh, then some kind of a stronghold that he has in his life. And he asked Jesus three times to take this thorn out of his flesh. And he goes, Jesus goes, my grace is sufficient. For my power is made perfect in weakness. So then Paul goes on and he goes, well, then I will boast all the gladly about my weakness, because when I'm weak, then I'm truly strong. I did not like that, because in my BC, before Christ lifestyle, weakness was not a thing to me. I had to be strong. I had to prove myself. I had to have all the pride and be proud and all these things. That verse wrecked me. It broke me. Verses, scripture has a way of wrecking people's lives if you'll let it. I've seen hardened hearts melt when the word hits them with a spirit-empowered force. I've seen people walk forward for baptism with tears streaming down their face because they finally understood the gospel. When we treat a sermon as just another part of the service, a Sunday service, when we check our phones, when we daydream, when we think that this is the boring part before we go home, we're missing the very moment that God wants to speak his life into you. You're missing it. The word proclaimed in the power of the Spirit is how God calls people to repentance. If you don't know what repentance is, it's a really cool word. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia, which is a military term. Like if you're marching this way, you know, marching, they would say metanoia, which means about face, which means you do 180 turn about face. And you start going the other direction. Maybe you've been walking this way with addictions, with gossip and anger and bitterness, and you get an encounter with the Holy Spirit and you say, God, I broke your heart. I'm so sorry. I want to turn from my way. You turn and you don't even walk towards God. You should be running into his arms. Running into his arms, because he has the power to forgive. The word reveals the beauty of Jesus and what he is and who he is and who he claimed to be. It transforms our hearts and our minds. And it builds this church. I already said there are millions and billions of Christians throughout the world. I wrote it like this. This is when heaven invades the earth through a simple proclamation of the truth. Worship continues through this proclamation. Here's where we need to shift our thinking completely. Paul tells Timothy to preach in and out of season. Now, hear me. I'm not saying you're all called to preach. That's not what I'm saying. You're going, woo, thank you. I said that once, and now look. I was not a public speaker 10 years ago. There was no way you were going to get me on a stage. But God. But God. In and out of season, what he's saying is that you have a story, you have a testimony. If you've had an encounter with the living Christ, and you've been born again, you got a story in and out of season. We actually got a rooted group here, a discipleship group that we have been training for 10 weeks. Everybody has to share their testimony in 3 minutes. Just 3 minutes. Who I was, what God did, and what he's doing now. Be ready in and out of season. Why? Because the proclamation, the preaching of God's word is worship. When you share your faith, you are worshiping. When you sing, you're expressing your love for God. When you pray, you're communicating with God. When you give, you're honoring God. And when the word is proclaimed, we're encountering God himself speaking directly to us. When God spoke to Moses, guess what happened? His face shone so brightly, he had to cover it up. We talked about last week when Isaiah had come face to face with God. Jesus, just so you know that. So you know that. He cried out. He says, woe to me. I am undone. I shouldn't even be here right now. And now God speaks to us through his word. Every Sunday, every time we open our Bibles, the same God who spoke the universe into existence is speaking to you right now through his written revelation. Church, what if you approached every sermon like this? What if instead of sitting back as a passive consumer, which we talked about last week, you leaned in a little bit closer, you got your Bible out, you started taking notes because God is sharing something with you. Because if it's not written down, guess what? My capacity of remembering something is about 30 minutes. Anybody else? Okay. You get it. Tomorrow, it's gone. I already forgot yesterday. When you write it down, it means it's important to you. What if you came in on a Sunday expecting God to speak directly to your heart through his word? When Philip the evangelist, I had a sermon a while back. This is what I learned getting into the word. I thought Philip was one of the disciples, but it was Philip the evangelist, which actually he was one of the first deacons in the church in Acts. So he wasn't one of the disciples, or the apostles. I'll say apostles, because apostles is different than disciple. But Philip reached, he got to Samaria in Acts 8. In Acts 8, verse 6, here's what it says. They paid close attention to what he said. Why? Because they understood that God himself was speaking through the proclamation of the scriptures that Philip the evangelist was speaking. When you engage with a sermon, it has the power to change everything. When you realize that it is God speaking, not just Jeremy speaking, the Spirit is actively working in the moment, in your heart. I hear it all the time, every week. Are you sure you don't have a camera in my house? Because you are speaking directly into what we just had conversation about. Or like I was a fly on the wall or something, you know. Like I hear it every week. Like, we just were having conversation about that and you just spoke to it. It's not me. You also got to understand your heart is the altar. This is an altar. We come up here and we raise hands and we get into the presence of God. But the only thing that God wants from you is your heart. When I was in jail and I thought I was going to prison for 20 to 30 years, and I was like, God, if you're really there, I surrender. I don't have anything but my heart. That's all I wanted. That's it. That's all I had to offer. And that's all that he was asking for. So the word should create faith, and it demands a response. The word creates faith and demands a response. Romans 10, I love Romans. It's theology at its core. If you don't like what Paul says, take it up with Paul. I got to preach the word. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Period. Period. Amen. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. And then two verses later, in verse 17, it says, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. God's word doesn't just inform. It creates faith. It demands a response. It demands something from us. Jesus says, I stand at the door and the knock. He's knocking at the door of your heart. But guess what? The response is you have to reach out, open the door, and let him in. It demands a response. It's faith. In the book of Acts, there is this pattern that we cannot ignore. We cannot ignore this pattern. The word is preached. Hearts are convicted. People respond. Lives are changed. And baptism follows. Acts 2. Peter preaches 3,000. We talked about. And they are saved. And they are baptized the very day. The same day. Acts 8. Philip, we talked about, preaches to the Ethiopian. And he's a Baptist. He goes, there's water right there. Let's get baptized right now. He didn't wait. Acts 16, Paul preaches to Lydia and the jailer, and they're baptized that exact same hour. The word proclaimed in the Spirit's power creates urgency. You know why? Because we talked about before, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. It should create urgency. It should create a hunger. It should create a response of surrender. Some of you are sitting here today and the Spirit's been moving in your hearts. You've heard the gospel before, or not the real gospel, or you're confused about the gospel. But today you need to know that Jesus didn't just die for the world. He died for you. You alone. If you were the only person on the planet, he would have died for you. Today you must know that your sin isn't just a mistake. Your sin is rebellion against a holy God. This is where it gets a little tougher. You're rebelling against a holy God because of your sin. Today, you start seeing that Jesus isn't just a good teacher. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just some man that walked on earth. He's God wrapped in flesh. He took a step off of his throne to come down here to save you. Today you start to see that Jesus isn't just a good teacher. He's actually your only hope. He is God in flesh. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. People fell down and worshiped Jesus. Jesus says, I am. That's the Spirit working through the Word. That's what the Bible preaches and teaches. That's what Paul is talking about when he charges Timothy to preach with urgency. Because lives hang in the balance here. Eternity hangs in the balance for you. In Acts 16, with the Philippian jailer asked, he goes, what must I do to be saved? Here's what Paul didn't say. Well, think about it. He didn't say, well, take your time. He said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. They spoke the word of the Lord to him, and his whole household was saved and baptized. Here's what it says. At the hour of the night, the jailer took them, and he washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all of his household was baptized. He didn't say think about it and wait about it and pray about it. No, it happened. The Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, proclaimed to the people of God, this is how God builds His kingdom. This is how lives are transformed. This is how people move from death to life. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time of salvation. Church, I want to ask you, how are you going to engage in God's word differently? When you realize that the sermon isn't just about teaching, but it's a time for you to worship God, to let Him speak into your life with His breath. When you understand that God Himself is speaking through the preaching and teaching of Scripture, everything starts to change. You want your way or God's way? I don't know about you, but I tried my way and it does not work. It's like I wear a big F on my chest, like failure, Jeremy's way. I flunked in that class. I don't know about you, but my way isn't even compared to what the goodness and greatness of what God wants to do through me. I'm walking proof of that. Maybe you're here today, never have truly responded to the gospel. You've heard about Jesus, but you never surrendered your life to Him. You know, even the demons believe in Jesus but aren't saved. It's a difference between believing and surrendering. The Spirit is moving. It's my prayer the Spirit's moving in your heart right now through the Word, and you know you need to respond. There comes a spot where it's like, man, I've never heard the gospel like this. I can tell Pastor Jeremy's passionate about this, because it is. Jesus says, no one can come to the Father except through me. I take that literally. The same word that called 3,000 people to faith at Pentecost is calling to you right now, today. We already talked about this is not a coincidence that you're here. We're here to celebrate our friends and our family that are going to be baptized, but you're here because the Spirit of God drew you here for a reason. Don't walk out here the same way you walked in. The same Spirit who opened Lydia's heart wants to open yours. The same Jesus who transformed Paul's life on the road to Damascus from Pharisee to an apostle wants to change yours. Don't leave here the same way you came. When God speaks through His Word, when the Spirit moves in power, the only appropriate response is surrender. Complete and total life-changing surrender. Surrender is not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. If you've never given your life to Jesus, today is your day. If you've been running from God, today is your day. If you've been playing games with your faith, today is the day. But here's the thing. This is where I got all crazy in my sermon and added about 3 more pages. No, I'm just kidding. Like, man, when's he going to be done? I can't let you leave here today without knowing what the gospel is. We think we have an idea of what the gospel is, but I'm going to give you the gospel in its truest, rawest form through Scripture. I need to make sure everyone in this room understands, because it isn't just information. This is the power of God for salvation for everyone who will believe. Here's the truth that will either save your soul or condemn you. We are all sinners. We're all sinners. Me too. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This isn't just a little mistake here, people. This is treason against the Creator of the universe. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but eternal separation from God. This is what is called in the Bible hell. Whether you believe it or not, it's there. That's been Satan's biggest distraction. There's no hell. You're going to be good. If you're good enough, you'll get into heaven. Being a good person. I ain't a good person. In the light of Jesus, I ain't good. Hell is real, and it's the lie that the devil's been sharing to try to keep people from actually encountering the salvation that comes only through Jesus Christ. We've all broken God's law, and the penalty is death. But here's where the gospel of the good news comes in. This is the good news. Romans 6:23, it says, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord." Jesus, hear me, I know, I get it. I'm going to get some heat here. Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. That's what's been taught from the beginning. From the beginning. People wrestle with this idea of the Trinity. They wrestle with these things, and I get it because I wrestle with them. But the Word of God tells me what I need to know. It doesn't matter what I think is right or wrong. It's what this tells me. This is my spot. If this says no, then I don't do it. If it says yes, then I do it. Because the world's going to tell me something that's not correct. I'm going to get in trouble. I don't know about you, but no, I'm not going to do it. I just listen to the world out there saying, "Oh, if you were born a male and you can change and be a female." Come on, somebody. God doesn't make mistakes. Come on. That's why this is important to me. That's why it's important. God doesn't make mistakes. Just because it makes me feel a certain way, I can't base my life on my feelings because my heart is deceitful. It's not true. It likes pleasure that is not of God. My heart is not pure. You know what I'm talking about, all of you. Jesus lived a perfect life that you couldn't live and I couldn't live. He never sinned, not once. We talked about that. Could you imagine being James, his brother, a brother who can't sin? Dude, I'd be smacking my brother around like, "You better not tell mom the truth." That'd be tough, man. Jesus never sinned. And he went to the cross and died the death that we all deserve. He took our sin upon himself. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." But he became your sin so that you could become his righteousness. The crown of his creation. You are the best thing that he's ever created. But we don't live like that. But the story doesn't stop there. It doesn't end on the cross when he was nailed to the cross. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, proving that he was who he claimed to be and that his sacrifice was accepted once and done. He said, "It is finished." Romans 4:25 says, "He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." Now here's what you must do. You must repent. That's the first time I said it that loud here, huh? You must repent, like one of those guys walking on the street. Hey, if they're doing what God called them to do, God bless them. You must repent and believe. Acts 17:30 says, "God commands all," this ain't me, "God commands all people everywhere to repent." This repent is a beautiful word. It's not a bad word. It's beautiful. That's what it means when we stop running our own lives. We stop being gods of our own existence. We turn from our sin and we turn to Jesus. That's what it means to repent. Turn and run to the Father's arms. You must believe. Not just believe that Jesus exists. We already determined that. We talked about Jesus and the demons believe and they're not saved. It's one thing to believe, you must not just believe that Jesus existed. There are people like scientists and all these atheists and agnostic people that tell you that Jesus walked this earth. They believe, but they're not saved. But believing that he, you have to come to a spot where you come to the end of yourself and you believe that he's your only hope. Jesus is our hope. Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm not just going to add a period. I'm going to add three periods behind that. Dot, 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 mic drop. The world and so many other religions say you have to earn salvation. This isn't just about making a decision. It's about surrendering your life completely to Jesus. When you truly believe, when you don't just get a ticket into heaven, when you believe, you get a new heart. You get a new life. You become a new creation. Our next baptism shirts are going to be like, new creation. That's what that needs to declare. I'm a new creation. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Our new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. Some of you are feeling the weight of your sin and you've been feeling it for a long time. You've realized that you've been living for yourself and you just need Jesus. Don't wait. Why wait? Don't think that you need to clean yourself up before you come to church. You don't need to clean yourself up because that's what he does. Come as you are. Sign out front says, come as you are with all your brokenness, your addictions, your pain, your suffering, your loss, your grief, your hurts, your hang-ups, and your habits. Bring them all. I don't have all the answers, but he does. Come to Jesus right now just as you are. Others of you have been calling yourselves Christian. Don't look at me. Other of you have been calling yourselves Christians, but you've never truly surrendered. You've never truly been born again. You've been playing church. You've been doing religion. You've been trying to earn your way into heaven, but your heart hasn't been changed yet. Ezekiel 36, he said, I will take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit right inside of you. We've been trying to earn something. We feel like we have to give back to earn something from God. You don't have anything that God wants but your heart. Get over it. For those that like to try to earn salvation, Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. This is a gift of God, not by works, so that no man may boast. The gift is there. You just got to grab it. Done. But because of the fruit of our salvation, we can't help not want to like pour into God and be like, God, you saved me. What can I do to help further your kingdom? It ain't about me earning something. It's about furthering your kingdom. Because I've been saved and brought out of jail and all that. And I got new people in here. I was in a car accident. I sold meth. I mean, I was in and out of jail, juvenile detention. I killed a 20-year-old kid on a motorcycle. I was broken and ready to end my life. And because God stepped into my heart and started putting those broken pieces back together again, guess what happened? I don't do this because I'm trying to earn something. I do this because I love you. God says, love your neighbor as yourself. Stop trying to earn something. It's already been, it's not a gift if you're trying to earn it. Accept the gift. Own it. Have it. Rest in it and say, now God, because you saved me, I care and I want to love other people the way that you love me, even in my brokenness. It is grace that you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. This is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. God gets the glory. If you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus, I want you to pray this with me. In your heart, God knows every hair on your head. He knows what's in your heart. He knows the pain that you're going through. He knows the wins, the victories, the gratitude, all of it. He knows everything. You can't hide nothing from him. Not because these words that you say are going to save you, but because they represent the cry of your heart. God, I need you and only you. Every head bowed, every eye shut, nobody's looking around. You've heard the gospel today, the gospel that can transform lives. You don't have to have all the answers right now. You don't have to have it all figured out right now, but that's why we come on Sunday, because we preach the word. You come in to preach the word and you get to hear what God has in store for you, not what you can do for him. So if today the Holy Spirit is encountered in your heart, every week somebody's getting saved up in this place. Let me tell you. Every week. So every head bowed, every eye shut, nobody's looking around, nobody's looking at you. If that's you today, if you're ready to make a decision to follow Jesus with all of your heart, raise your hand. One. I see you. Keep your hands up. One, two, three, four, eight. 12. Hallelujah. Praise God. God, we thank you. Okay, I'm going to pray. And you don't need to say this out loud. He hears you. He's with you right now in your heart, listening to every word that you say in your heart. So, Father, I come to you right now acknowledging that I am a sinner. I have broken your heart. I have lived for myself instead of you. And today I believe that Jesus is who he says he is. I believed he lived a perfect life that I could never live. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, taking the punishment that I deserve. And I believe, God, that you raised him from the dead 3 days later. Right now, I turn from my sin. I turn away from running my own life. I turn from trying to earn a place in your kingdom and accept the free gift that you've already given. I turn away from being the God of my own existence, and I turn to Jesus as Lord of my life. And Jesus, I believe that you are my only hope. I declare that you are Lord today. I surrender my entire life to you. Come into my heart. Make me new. Give me that new heart that you promise. I want to live the rest of my life for you. Make me the person that you've created me to be. From this day forward, my life belongs to you. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate the Lord. Come on. Wow. Now you're really going to get challenged. When you truly believe this, when you truly have, with all of your heart, you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, not because you're good, but because he's good. When you truly surrender your life to Jesus, your next step is baptism. Not because saves you, because it doesn't, because we already determined that works don't save you. Only the grace of God can save you through your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is not what saves you. I can prove it. The guy on the cross, the other third guy on the cross, went to the cross. Jesus is standing there. He goes, what must I do to enter your kingdom? And he repented and he gave his life to Jesus on the cross and he went to heaven and was baptized. But it is important. Baptism is a picture of what happens to you spiritually when you believe. Spiritually, when you believe, this is what happens. In Romans 6, 3 through 4, it explains it. Or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ? We were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have or live a new life. When you go under the water, you're declaring that your old life is buried. And when you come out of the water, you're declaring that you have been raised to life in Jesus. Baptism isn't an option for us believers. It's obedience. Obedience is God's love language. When he says do, you do, he loves that. It's not something that you do when you feel like you're ready for it. Well, it's your first act of obedience. Understand this. It's your public declaration that you belong to Jesus. It's your first testimony. It's your first public sermon testifying that you belong to Jesus. If you've never been baptized, since you've truly believed, or what the Bible says, and I've said a few times, being born again, today is your day. This is not an exclusive church, or did I say that right? Inclusive. All are welcomed here. All are welcomed in this house. I don't care what your background is. You just heard a piece of mine. God accepted me right where I was at. Today's the day. If you've been putting this off, today is your day. If you've been waiting for the right time, guess what? Today is your day. You know why? Because there's a tank out there with water. As I said earlier, the Ethiopian eunuch did not wait. Philippian, the jailer, did not wait. The 3,000 people at Pentecost did not wait. They were baptized immediately because they understood that baptism is the first step of obedience in a Christian life. Again, you don't have to clean yourself up before you get baptism. That's what baptism does. You go down, you're putting your old life to death. You're being washed clean. It's a representation of coming out a new creation. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond. And if the Spirit is moving in your heart, guess what? Get in your clothes, in your pants, in your t-shirt. You don't need to have anything else. Just get in the tank and we'll take care of it. If you surrendered your life to Jesus today, your next step is baptism. Don't let the moment pass you by. This is your moment, along with the 10 other people who's getting baptized. This is your day. How will you respond to what God's word says through the gospel? So let me pray. Father, your word has gone forth. Your Spirit is moving. Now we ask that you would do what only you can do. Save our souls, transform our lives, and build your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, let's give God some hand clap. Let's give him some glory. Hey, if you're new with us today and you want to know more about our church and who we are and what God's been doing here, he's doing a lot of cool stuff, let me tell you. There's a blue card in your seat back cushion in front of you. Pull that card out, fill that thing out. Get it back to our back table where Vinette is, and we'll get you taken care of. I love connecting with everybody, sharing any questions that you might have, any of that. If you want to serve baptism, if you've given your life to Jesus, set it on there so I can reach out to you next week. I want to get to know you a little bit better and help you take your next steps. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and start heading outside as people are walking inside. We got our people. We'll be out there in a few minutes. I got to meet with the people who are getting baptized. Those people, meet me in my office here in a few minutes so I can go over a few things with you. We've already done a class with them, but I just need to pray with them and get them all prepared for this. We have some snacks and cookies if you want on your way out, and we will get to the baptisms right away. If God spoke to you today, which I know he did, if we had ears to hear, then he spoke to you. And you're interested in getting baptized today, meet me in my office too. It's the second door on the right after the men's bathroom. God stirred. I want you to know, welcome home. Welcome to New Hope Church. And we love you guys. And so let's close this and get to the baptisms. I'm so excited. Okay, you guys are dismissed.